The opening scripture I brought this morning is, I wrote it down here somewhere, oh yes, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 2. And if nothing ever rocked your boat with excitement more than this after I finished talking to you about it, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Now, God is a God of miracles. He always has been, and He always will be. And you must never stop believing, because here it is, when you pass through the waters. You know that word through is really critical? Even when David in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley. The problem with us is sometimes we stop in the middle of the valley and look around and see how high the mountains are. And we forget about how big our God is. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Waters can be spiritually representative of troubles, turmoils, storms of life, sickness, disease, loss of a loved one, loss of finances, a home, or jobless, or homeless, or whatever. So many things happen to people. But it's always important to come back to remember, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And I got to thinking about, there are three miracles in here. The passing through the waters, the passing through the river, and the fire not kindling on anyone or touching on them. And first one was Genesis when, it's Exodus chapter 14. It's a little side trip here, but to bring out, when you pass through the waters, you remember when Moses led the Israelites out of Pharaoh's hand and they came up against the Red Sea. And here's a really good thing. When Gary read that scripture this morning about we have been delivered from all the powers of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of our beloved Savior. Well, when the Israelites came up against the Red Sea, that water parted. God parted that water for them and they all passed on dry ground. And after they all got across, there were something like 1,600,000 Israelites, all their goats, all their sheep, all their cattle, all the silver and gold. Pharaoh was so ticked off at them, he gave them all the silver and all the gold and told them, get out of here, just go. But he thought that he would get his chariots and horses and run them all down and slaughter them all at the Red Sea. But God had a bigger plan. And the enemy may have a plan devised against you. And he may run you against the Red Sea, figuratively speaking. And you may think that there's no hope. How am I ever going to get out of this mess? And they were afraid. I mean, wouldn't you be? Put yourself in that spot and you hear the horses coming and the chariots coming after you with men on swords and spears that would stab you or whack your head off or whatever they could do to take you out. And they run up against the Red Sea. And God not only parted that sea, but have you ever seen a cow path, even in the summer in Vermont, and they walk and there's still water there, it's moist, it's muddy? Can you imagine the Red Sea, not only the water parting by God for them to pass over, but it was dry? And you think of all of those people and all the critters that went with them, and they passed on dry land. And then the enemy came pursuing them. And after the last Israeli and his goats and sheep and kids and everybody made it to the other side, the waters closed back up, swallowed up all their enemies, defeated them, wiped them out. And God said, from this day forward, you will never see your enemy again. Now think about that scripture that Gary read. That God has delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of light. When you get water baptized, you think about that. When you got water baptized, maybe nobody presented it to you in that light, but that same water that you got baptized in represents the same water that defeated all of your enemies. They drowned in the water, but you rose victoriously out of that water to live a life of victory and have the ability to overcome every obstacle. Everything the enemy would set in your path, the power of that has been broken off your life, and you live as a free people. So when you see this one verse, now, what about the river? What's that deal all about? Well, that one you have to go to You have to go to the book of Joshua, and I'm going to just give you these scriptures because if this is an opening scripture, I just want to tantalize your taste buds to take these and look a little deeper. So write them down. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, and we see another encounter where the Israelites were going to cross the Jordan River. And it was very deep where they were, and they had no way to get across the river. Didn't have any boats to handle that kind of a crowd of people. But the miracle was, God said, or the Word of God says, that He stopped the water of the Jordan from flowing, and the waters piled up. Now, let's talk about the Connecticut River, okay? Here we are. We all go over there as a church and say, well, we want to get to Charlestown. Close your eyes. There's not really a bridge there. We know there is, but there isn't, okay? And how are we going to get to Charlestown across that river and not get wet, not drown in the river? So the hand of God holds back the water of the Connecticut River until all the water that was where you're going to cross is all flowed down, and it's all dried up. The riverbed is all dried up. You cross, and then He takes His hand off, and the water comes back down after everybody gets through. And that's what happened with the Jordan River. And so it's like we couldn't build a dam big enough to hold that Connecticut River back long enough for 1,600,000 people. And you think that God can't help you with your stuff? Give me a break. I mean, this is intense. You know, one verse and these miracles that happened. And the next one. And oh, okay, that's back to Joshua. Okay, I'm really cooking on here. I want to get to the fire. You can look these up. But write them down, because you can see that whole account played out in Scripture. The other one, you shall walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon you. And I think about the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into Nebuchadnezzar's burning fiery furnace, who had it heated 7 times hotter than it usually was heated, to roast them alive, because they wouldn't bow down and worship His golden image. And the day may come when we're going to face some opposition because we are not going to bow down and worship the God of this world. We're not going to bow down and worship images and idols. We're going to bow down and worship Jesus Christ, and we may pay a price for it. And I'm not sowing bad seed. I'm sowing that you need to be ready for some things. Jesus talked about the days that were going to come and things were going to get worse and worse and evil would wax worse. And we're living in a day where we're seeing that happen. But the wonderful news is, if you read that account from the book of Daniel chapter 3 verses 22 through 27, you can read that for yourselves and see how they not only threw them in the furnace, they bound them all up with ropes. Like what was the purpose of that? You know, just to torment them even more. But if you read all the way through that, you'll find out that there was a fourth man in the furnace. And the king saw through the wall of the window in the furnace, and he said, there was one like the Son of God walking among them. And the only thing that burned was the ropes that held those three Hebrews bound. The fire burned the ropes off them. But you know, the Bible goes on to say that there wasn't even a smell of smoke. I mean, imagine that. If you light up a cigarette and smoke it, everybody knows. But here they are in this fiery furnace, and flesh smells horrible when it burns. I've witnessed a car accident where somebody burned to death while I was there. And it's horrible. But the miracle was, the fire never kindled on them, and there wasn't even so much as the smell of smoke in their hair or any part of their bodies. And this is the good news coming into this new year. I just wanted you to start thinking about how good God is, how great He is, the things that He's capable and willing and able to do, knowing that He's no respecter of persons, meaning He doesn't pick and choose favorites. Whatever He's done for somebody else, He'll do for you. But you got to release your faith. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith, not mine, not somebody else's, but your faith. And we have to stand. We have to stand in our faith and not be moved by circumstances that look totally impossible. And how is this ever going to work? Well, that's where God comes in. He's the God of the impossible. He makes the impossible possible. And so if that don't crank your clock, you're really going to miss a blessing when Huggy Break comes, because you're going to be hugging miracles in this room in a few minutes. So take a look around the room and look at all them miracles. Just behold the miracle of the new birth.
Church, listen to him. He's bringing a prophetic word this morning, church. Listen to this man.
Amen.
God's bringing you a word today. Thank you.
Just be ready.
Yes.
But don't be worried. There's a difference.
Yeah, right.
If you're worried, you're not ready. But when you're ready, you won't worry. And we have one more. Ken and Laurie would like to bless us with a special song they did at the Christmas Eve service. A lot of you couldn't make it. We always know that. And we'd like to do that now because it stands out for the special song that it is. And then we'll have Huggy Break and go on to the rest of the service. So just hang tight. We always tell people this church service is so long we have to have an intermission.
Thank you, Lord.
Something that I left a bit unattended from the Joshua scriptures this morning that seem very fitting, and I'd meant to put them in, but I got excited, got carried away about seeing how the river got held back. That's always exciting. I want to know, how does that work? God's got a big hand. That's all I need to know. But there was something that happened just previous to that in verse 13 of Joshua chapter 3. And I got thinking about how practical it seems in Scripture, but sometimes difficult to walk it out. Did you ever notice that, reading the Word? How you can read it and it sounds like, well, that sounds good. I get to see the outcome of what happened with them. But what about me? Where's my outcome? How does that work in my life? In verse 13 of Joshua chapter 3, they're coming up against the river. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the water of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the water that comes down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And that's where we kind of left back, just a little bit further to verses 7 and 8. Something that the Lord told Joshua that's really important. And oftentimes, in the midst of a storm, a trouble, God doesn't test us, but the enemy does. And he wants to push against you, and you need a word from God that's going to steer you through it. Because otherwise you can get caught up in discouragement, and sometimes that can get close to despair, thinking that this just isn't going to change. And something that we forget sometimes. In verse 7 and 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now I want you to put your name in there, get a hold of that. This day, as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. Don't ever forget that. You're never alone. You might be by yourself sometime, but you're never alone. And there's a difference. You can be by yourself with a cat, but you're not alone, because the Lord is with you and in you. And let's go a little further. And you shucks that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Now, the interesting thing about these priests were the fact that they came to the edge of the water and they offered praise to God. They weren't just going to walk up to the water and not knowing what to expect. There are places, even in Jericho, very similar, how God, before there was a great miracle of deliverance, there was an instruction that came with that, that they were to be praisers, worshipers. And now you fast forward it to today. What happened in between? We got the trouble, did we forget to praise? And praise God to deliver us out of it, to provide an answer. We go before Him in prayer, and we make our petitions known, and we thank Him. We left off 2 weeks back about, as we increase in knowledge of things of the Lord, and one of them, we were talking about knowing His will. And so I want to use this to springboard back into that about thanking God in all things, but not for all things, because there's a difference. And I really need to bring that out today so that you can see and understand that better, because there really is a difference. And I use the example of being in the ministry for a lot of years. You find yourself in the midst of people going through all kinds of things in their lives, and it's our job to seek the Lord as to how we might be of some help to somebody. We don't just want to aimlessly drift through life and do nobody any good. And one of the things that I've heard many, many times is people giving thanks for a particular sickness or for a disease because they thank God for it, because otherwise they might never have gotten to witness to that person who works in the hospital. And they'll justify saying it with that. And my question, did you ever want to ask somebody a question but you didn't quite dare? Well, I dare. I say, if you're thanking God for the cancer, would you please tell me where he got it? Is there any sickness or disease in heaven?
No.
Well, where would God get something like that from? I don't think that's in his toolbox. I find that the Word and the Spirit are in his toolbox. Now, if you're a person who doesn't know that, you're going to be thanking God for a lot of stuff that he's not responsible for. And it's going to bring a lot of defeat in your life, and it's going to cause you to not go forward from your current circumstances. God wants to lift us out of them. That's why he calls us overcomers, more than conquerors. Amen. And thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory, not just on Sunday morning. Or maybe if you went to Bible study Wednesday night, maybe you'll be an overcomer on Thursday. Now, he said, thanks unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. And always triumph. So, but it's important to praise during the battle. And sometimes we forget that. Our prayer life can turn into murmuring and complaining. And we know that because what happened with the Israelites after the miracle that spared their lives and swallowed up all their enemies. It weren't too many days down the road they were murmuring and complaining. They didn't like manna, so God gave them quail. Finally, they got tired of first-class quail. I mean, to me, that'd be like pheasant under glass. Dude, that's good eating right there. You know, what are you going to eat? Sand? Lizards? Geckos? Spiders? Snakes? No, I think I'd really like quail. That sounds really... That just appeals to my appetite. But you see, not so long after the miracle, they began to murmur and complain. And people haven't changed. And so we have to guard our hearts about that. If you're waiting for God and you've taken your petitions before the Lord, it's the waiting time in between sometimes. And what is our attitude during that time? How important it is to have an attitude of praise. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness will lift when you praise the Lord. Oh, and did you ever, if you're upset at somebody and you really want to have a little talk with them outside of the realm of the spirit?
And,
yeah, bless them with a brick, you know? And all of a sudden, your precious sister or brother in the Lord shows up. And how quickly you turn, or you get a phone call right in the middle of ripping somebody. Oh, I'm so glad you called. You just bless me so much. And you just get out of that funk of murmuring and complaining. And that shows you just how quick we can change. Unsaved people can't do that, but we have a tremendous advantage over the unsaved. We can walk in both realms. It isn't too fruitful to always walk in the flesh, but we live in these earth suits. And these earth suits are in this world. Spiritually, we're no longer of it. And sometimes our wants and our desires can be really strong to pull us in ways that we all know are very unhealthy for us. And we're going to make some choices that aren't always going to have a good outcome. They will have an outcome. It may not be that which we were hoping for. But praise and worship in the battle is really important. And when God gives you the victory, don't forget. Remember the last victory. Remember the last miracle. Remember the last time you were healed. Remember the last time he answered a prayer. And keep your hearts in thanksgiving. But only thank him for the things that are his. And that's what I want to come to back in our teaching of knowing God's will. We left off, I believe, with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And we were talking about knowing God's will. And I'm basically just going to reconnect today, because it's been a couple of weeks since we came back to this, and then hopefully next week we'll go a little further. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18. If you want to know, and you're really not settled and established about the will of God, some things in the Word are really clearly defined. Some are not so. But as you grow in your knowledge of him, you'll know what he likes, you'll know what pleases him, and you'll know what doesn't. It's like among us, our mates, our wives, our husbands, our kids. When you spend time with one another and you communicate with one another, you get to know how to do things that make each other happy, or that you're pleased, or that you're blessed. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And this is where I left off 2 weeks back. Notice it says in everything. That's what I really want you to see. Sometimes little words mean big things. In everything. Now, you're sick, okay? And I'm not saying you're sick. I don't want to speak that over your life. But in a situation where you're battling, a lot of people have already stocked up expecting to get the flu, and then when they get it, they'll say, see, I told you so. So guard yourselves. Get into praise and worship and begin thanking the Lord that Jesus bore all manner of sickness and disease upon himself. That you can put scripture to, Matthew 8:17, and that he bore all of our infirmities upon himself. So with that in mind, when something of the enemy comes knocking on your door, you know, that's like, that's an email you don't want to open. You might get a virus in it. So don't open the door and receive just anything UPS or FedEx brings you. Make sure it's for you before you sign for it. And spiritually, it's the same thing. Make sure you know who the sender is before you sign the bill of goods and you get in trouble. In everything. So, okay, let's say well, you didn't know that, and you got a package by surprise in the middle of the night, and you woke up and found out that the enemy makes night deliveries while you're sleeping, and he catches you off guard. Okay, so the next day you get up, and you're dealing with a cold, flu, or whatever. I'm just going to be mild about it, because things can come upon us very quickly like that. And so what do we do the next day? Oh, Father, I thank you. I'm sick. I get the day off. In fact, my employer is so good, I get 5 days off. I believe you for healing, but let's wait for the rest of the week. And then Monday, you know, I'll be ready and go back to work. That's not really a good thing to do. But it sounds nice. If you're in your natural thinking. So what you do is, as a believer, Father, I thank you that when Jesus died on the cross, he bore the sickness upon himself in my place. And I thank you for my healing. See, there's a difference. See, in that, we thank him for what he did, not what we found ourselves in did. That comes to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10, Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I am come that you have life, and that you have it more abundantly, or in abundance. I always like more abundantly, because abundance is good, but more is better. I'm a person who's been homeless and shot and kidnapped and jobless and all that kind of stuff and foodless. And I know what abundant is, and I know what more is, and I really like the more abundant. Those words mean everything to me. And when I think about grace, and I think about mercy, and I think about all of God's promises, and I look at them through his eyes, not mine, that's what I see. I see more. I see an abundance. God's not stingy. He's not an Indian giver. give you something today and then take it away from you tomorrow. Now, he's only going to take what you're willing to give him. It isn't he that takes it without your permission, without your will in being involved. So even a bad attitude, oh Lord, please take away my bad attitude. And you know what you're going to hear? Praise me. It'll disappear. Just like that. A simple word. So in everything. Now I want to go over to Ephesians 5:20. And this is where we will stop with this one today, because I kind of want to get back in the flow of this, because it's a very meaningful series of scriptures that's really going to help somebody. Gary was in the book of Ephesians. No, Colossians a little earlier. Ephesians is next. Ephesians 5:20. And I don't know if you mind marking up your Bibles. I don't. I like marking them, because I can find things quicker again the next time I come back. But this is really important. Now compare what we just read in Thessalonians and compare the wording of this verse, verse 20. Giving thanks always. Yep, well, we heard that. We're supposed to do that, right? But here it is. For all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on the surface, if you take out that just like it is, you could come to the opinion that everything that comes is from God. But if you look a little closer in the wording of these scriptures, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. All things unto God. The things that God is responsible for, the things that God has established, those things were to give thanks for, all of those things. And then I want to show you, from there we go to Luke chapter 20, verse 25. I really believe we're going to get somewhere here. Luke 20, and verse 25. And I promise not to keep you any later than 3 o'clock. Never make promises you can't keep. All right, Luke 20 and verse 25. And in the context of that, we need to go a few verses back, or perhaps maybe verse 21, because I don't like to just pull one verse out and not set it in its context, because it's all part of a flowing manuscript. And sometimes people make doctrines out of one verse of scripture, and that's a little bit shaky, so I don't want to do that. I want to keep a very well-balanced presentation so that you can kind of track along where we're going with this. And this had to do with where an issue about paying taxes. Would we pay them to Israel, or would we pay them to Caesar, going back to that particular time? And under that time, Julius Caesar, through others below him, were ruling in Israel at that time. So they were kind of like a higher authority. And this tribute money came up, a question about that. In verse 21, and they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest rightly, and neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. You can almost hear the hiss in the voice of Satan there, kind of like coming at him and just mocking him. Oh, we know you're the master. We know you're a Christian. And you can almost hear the hissing of the serpent in the way that he comes to speak sometimes. And he speaks to us like that sometimes. Is it lawful for us to give Caesar or not? And he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, you tempt, show me a penny. Whose image and superscription has it? Or is on it? They answered him and said, Caesar's. Now here's the connecting verse, back where we just were. in Ephesians. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be to God. Caesar represents the enemy. He represents the oppressor. He represents the authority that holds people in captivity against their will. He represents everything that's anti-God. And the issue came up. If the coin has Caesar's name on it, then give it to Caesar. But he made sure to tell them to render unto God the things that are God's and unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, so that you can clearly see there's a distinct difference between who we're to thank and who to render, or to, the scriptures tell us to honor those who are deemed honorable. So it kind of has that same kind of context in relationships. But when it comes down to everyday Christian living, there's one who's against us and there's one who's for us. So we don't want to begin to thank the one who's against us instead of thanking the one who's for us. But you see, if you don't study and you begin to connect all these things together, it can take a long, long, long time and a lot of losses and heartbreak not knowing the difference. And it isn't that God's playing games with us. It's just that in our walk, we're all where we are spiritually. We're all growing. We're all headed in the same direction. We're all in this faith walk together, but we're growing. Paul always prayed in his prayers that we would grow, that we would grow in knowledge, we would grow in wisdom, we would grow in understanding. And this is all part of growing, is learning some things that are going to really help us. And that's the practical part. I'm not very complicated. I'm a very simple person. And I've learned over the course of time what works, and I've learned very well what doesn't. I can teach you the things that work, and I can use some horrible examples of what don't. You probably already have your own list. So I'm not going to waste our time. But these are really practical, and as we go along, we're going to find out that praise and thanksgiving are huge in the Christian's to-do list. During the battle, before the battle, praise and thanksgiving are really important. Being thankful. Because always remember that God is our deliverer. He's not the one that puts us in situations and then pokes a carrot through the glass and says, God, I want you over here. You know, and then if you don't, he gets the taser and, don't tase me, bro. You know, I'll do it. No, we got to have a willing heart. But when we do, that's when the miracles happen. That's when a bad situation turns around. What happened after you saw that scripture? Turned around, didn't it? Yes, because you chose to believe it. It was for you. See, that's, I like to call the word, this is Rick's version, okay? This isn't of the Lord, this is of Rick. My Bible to me is a roadmap given to me by God through the minefields of life. And any of you that ever read the military, you know what a minefield is. And you have to be very mindful of where you step. You don't want to become a victim of wounded warriors. So the word has a way, because the whole intent of Peter's revelation, where we'll come back to, was that we would grow to the point where he says, we will never fall. Now that might sound strange to some of you, but it won't after you've been here a while. God doesn't want us to fall. He wants us to win. Look at what it cost him for your life. He didn't get us born again to lose. Remember the old tattoo, born to lose? I used to see that in the military. That was the first tattoo all my soldier buddies got. Went out, first time they got a break away from the barracks and got some free time, they went and got a tattoo, born to lose. I'm not into tattoos, but if I was, I'd get one that says born again to win. And that's my tattoo. And my pen fell down, so I guess that's the end of that. I want to pray for those that want prayer, because that's really important too, and whatever your needs are. We are a firm believer, those of you that are visiting today, a firm believer in laying on of hands. That's a very biblical principle. And if you want prayer, I and several others that might come up for prayer that will pray with you. It's a very open forum to be prayed for, but we've seen a lot of wonderful things happen here. And if that's you today...